Orale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin. It's the NFL Insider Series, Familia. We're almost there, almost to the end. It's almost to the final four. Hey, but you know what? If this is the first episode you're watching, Chiefs fans, there's lots of AFC West that you could check out. I've got an entire playlist just of NFL insiders like our invitado right here. Okay, they're giving you great information. Get in there, subscribe, please. Familia FFB on YouTube, give us a like and subscribe. You know, drop a comment in there. I'm answering as many as I can. Our numbers are growing, and I'm so appreciative of everybody. Also, make sure you're getting to underdogfantasy.com. This is the season to be drafting on Underdog. You've got fantasy games all over the place, lots and lots of different tournaments for football. Lots and lots of baseball opportunities. There's going to be basketball, everything. I mean, you see plenty of basketball right behind our invitados' shoulders. It's going to be basketball season before you know it, but also it's going to be football season before you know it. So use that promo code FAMILIA23. You're going to get matched up to the first $100 and you're going to get in and you're going to put in your first $100. They're going to match you another $100 and draft and keep drafting all the way till September 7th when these Kansas City Chiefs are going to be opening up the season and getting their Super Bowl rings. And let's welcome in our invitado de lujo, Joshua Briscoe. I mean, I'm telling you, when I started this 2 years ago, he was one of the first people to say yes to me. And I'm so thankful that he keeps coming back. He gives me great information. He shared an incredible Travis Kelce story at a Lake Tahoe golf tournament that just cracked me up forever. But hey, make sure you're following my Arrowhead Report. Follow his great work at Sports Radio 810. Welcome in, Joshua. Josue, mi amigo, welcome in.
Thank you for having me back again, man. I really know I can like set my watch and know that it's about training camp time. We can see week one. When I know it's time for me to rejoin the Familia, I'm very happy to do that. So it's good to be back. Good to see your face again. And maybe I can shine some light on a few of these big Chiefs questions for you. I think I did okay last year, but I didn't go back and like give myself a report card. So if you need to be brutally honest, I can take it.
Actually, honestly, one of the things that you told me that was great, people were getting really overheated about Sky Moore, and you said to make sure to kind of tamp it down, that Andy Reid's playbook is really, really hard, and you know, and that you said maybe on the back half, and go figure, the guy scores a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So
and I think this is what I hang my hat on now, is great analysis. Like, it's hard to be a rookie in Andy Reid's system. I know you can only find it from me. But it's true. It led us there last year. And Sky Moore got his Super Bowl moment, his first touchdown as a Chief. It just didn't help your fantasy team. This is what I'm here to try to help you do today, I guess.
Well, actually, it helped me in DFS. So helped me win a little money. So I did have him in my lineup. So it was good times. It was good times. I now have a little piggy bank to play this year coming up. So, mi amigo, well, one thing that you said last year, you knew that. Yeah, I mean, there were people who were saying Tyreek Hill was gonna take away, and you did tell me, don't worry about Mahomes. He's gonna be fine. He's going to be fine. That's why I'm calling him Mahomes El Goat. I just took him number one overall in the Scott Fishbowl draft, where quarterbacks go at the front. I took him over Josh Allen. I took him over Jalen Hurts, took him over Joe Burrow. I mean, honestly, you know, two Super Bowls in his, you know, in the early part of his career. I mean, how much better can he get?
The funny thing to see this offseason, maybe because of the second ring and the whole sort of parade and all the festivities that came with it, this feels like the offseason where it's finally stopped being not even an argument, because it wasn't really an argument last year, but a talking point, you know, of, well, is Mahomes really number one? Well, you could find a cable TV channel somewhere where someone would say, I'll take Josh Allen over Patrick Mahomes. And now that has been so thoroughly beaten away from the discourse, appropriately, because Mahomes is obviously the best quarterback, best individual football player in this sport right now, anywhere in the world. So we have that. That's like our assured little starting point for all of this. How much better can he get? I love that question, because I don't know, and I'm at a point now where I really don't even know what it would look like. There are the clips now of him practicing the behind-the-back passes. That's kind of a that's kind of an indulgence, I imagine. But I saw one tweet that was like, okay, but now imagine him hitting a pass in the flat behind his back when his eyes are over here looking downfield, flips one behind his back, and being a defender there would really stink. But beyond that, for him, it's really funny because these are the things that young quarterbacks work on. But it's kind of come full circle. Mahomes is working on his mechanics. He's working on his footwork. He's working on getting even more familiar with even more of what NFL defenses will show you. It's full circle because usually you work on your mechanics and then you try to figure out how you can branch out and then what you do to become a great quarterback once you become a good one. Well, Mahomes is the best quarterback I've ever seen with my own eyes. And so he's at a point now where it's like, okay, well, I guess I can work on the margins. I can make my career even more sustainable. It's a ridiculous thing for me to say. I understand how it's going to sound when I say this. But again, he's the greatest football player currently walking this earth. I think he will ultimately be regarded as the best football player to ever play this sport. And there will probably be some other evolution for him. I don't know what it's going to be, though, because there's not really anyone who has come before him to follow in this path. So for Mahomes, I think the only thing he can really do for his legacy is just to keep winning. And that appears to be part of the goal at this point.
You know, the interesting part is, the Charles Barkley jersey behind you kind of reminds me of something. Michael Jordan had a point where it was just like, it almost became boring to give him the MVP every year. Yes. Charles Barkley came up, had an incredible year in the early 90s. Jordan had the same year he had the year before. And they gave the MVP to Barkley. Later on, they did it with Karl Malone. It's crazy to say the guy's not even his 30th birthday, and Mahomes is he looks like he's at that point. I mean, to me, the thing that's really incredible is he lost the one of the best receivers in the NFL. None of the other receivers, other than the guy we're going to talk about next, got anywhere close to 1,000 yards. And yet he still put up 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns. And I mean, it's to me, I do remember you pointed that out. It's like, he's going to be fine. He's still going to have his numbers because he's still got Andy Reid. Is how much, and that, how important is that relationship right now? Even losing Eric Bieniemy, by the way.
Yes, vital. And having Matt Nagy be back while Bieniemy goes to Washington, that whole thing is frustrating for a variety of reasons. We can save your viewers today if you want. But there will be some continuity there, right? But that relationship of accelerating Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback, I think that was the part above all else. Andy Reid not only made Patrick Mahomes a good quarterback faster, he made him a great quarterback faster. And Patrick Mahomes has made Andy Reid a better coach. Certainly, he's given him, you know, his first two Super Bowl rings after a life in football. The rings didn't come until Mahomes did. And that is just like the most – I always forget the word for, you know, a clownfish and a sea anemone. A mutually beneficial relationship. Yes. There's a very specific word for this that I should know from like fourth grade that I'll think of later. But that's what it is. It is a symbiotic relationship. It's a symbiotic relationship, maybe better than any in the NFL. Brady and Belichick had a different version of it, of course, but, you know, still greatness. So that's vital. But then also, and when we get to this year's wide receivers on this team, this year's group, in some ways, as we stand here today, as opposed to a couple of days ago, might be even more unknown, might be even more uncertain than it was this time a year ago, or at least it's pretty close to that. So it's a fascinating group. I do think, once again, though, I think the number one wide receiver on this team is obviously Travis Kelce. The number two wide receiver on this team, I think, is kind of Andy Reid, to sort of follow up on your point there. I wouldn't draft him in fantasy, but I do think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah, his separation skills have gotten a little tough. He might be good in the running game. He might be good helping block in the running games.
Great field vision, not as much burst as he used to have, I'm sure.
Yeah, but the Tommy's Burgers, you know, he'll still bring those post games. Well, let's talk about El Otro Goat, Travis Kelce. You know, I did a little digging and I looked at like great tight ends and how they have aged. And I looked at Tony Gonzalez, played a large chunk of his career with the Chiefs.
My childhood, yes.
So he was, you know, when he was 38, he had a great season. He had a walk-off, season over 1,000 yards. He could have kept going, but he just decided to call it a career and not have people hit him and make good money playing on TV. I'm looking at Travis Kelce. He's 34. And it didn't, you know, there are some people who are saying they're, you know, kind of like looking at little details and saying, oh, he's slipping here and there. I'm like, the dude's still catching over 100 balls a year and getting 12 touchdowns. Can we just pretty much write that down for him again this year?
Yep.
Okay, next player.
Yes, I joke because it is actually that simple. You can say, all right, tight end in his 30s, football's a violent game. What if he gets hurt? What if there's a serious injury? Well, if there's a serious injury, it would happen, and it would be the first one he had suffered since his first year in the NFL. And he just hasn't gotten hurt that way. He's gotten banged up, but he takes great care of his body. Will there eventually be some form of decline? Yeah, but here's the crazy part. The parts of the decline that we are all looking for started like 3 years ago. And he has not, his game has not declined. He's not as fast as he used to be. He is not as quick, as explosive, as straight away. That Travis Kelce had breakaway speed, like for a tight end, I guess, but he had legit speed in his arsenal for the position he plays. Now he just moves in slow motion, and then there's a 3-yard hula hoop around him at all times where there's never a defender. I don't know how you defend that, because he makes your job as a defender so completely impossible. Partially because he's reading and occasionally doing a little improv, but really what I think it mostly is him reading defenses, and not only him knowing how to read a defense, the leverage, the tiny, tiny, tiny little things that can show you what a defense is going to do in response to what they think you're doing. He's reading it for himself, but he also is reading it through Andy Reid's eyes. He knows what he's supposed to be looking for Andy Reid. He's reading it through Patrick Mahomes' eyes. He knows how Mahomes is reading the defense. And so when your head coach, your quarterback, and who I think is the greatest tight end of all time, as someone who grew up watching and loving Tony Gonzalez in this city, I look at him as the greatest ever, and I think it's going to continue more years of greatness. I don't know when he will first miss the 1,000-yard mark as this incredible streak goes on, but I don't think it's going to be this year, because I do have my questions about the receiving core as well. But he just lives in space. It's really unbelievable that I think ultimately makes it harder to understand what you're seeing with Travis Kelce, because logically it doesn't quite add up. But then when you watch it, you would say, well, that's a guy that you wouldn't even say he's got 5 years left. You wouldn't think about the end for a player who looked like Travis Kelce did last season. So I've just stopped worrying about it, honestly. That day may come. Maybe we'll be here to see it. Maybe we won't. But I'm not going to foresee the future of Travis Kelce anytime soon.
No, I look at him and it's just like he's automatic. And, you know, interesting, I was talking about the fantasy draft/tournament. Over 3,000 people are playing in this thing, all broken up in different leagues. I picked him number one. I picked Mahomes number one. Travis Kelce went number two because the scoring was really skewed to try and make Kelce to be potentially the first overall pick. And I just couldn't do it, but I could see it. And he's just like we did at the beginning. Yep. Yeah. 100 catches, 1200 yards, maybe 10 to 12 touchdowns. Yep. Let's move on. Lather, rinse, repeat. Yeah. I don't see any decline in his production, but you're right. You pointed out everything. But one of the guys, and I've been kind of like, this has been one of the guys I've probably been excited about for 6 months now, since he scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. You mentioned last year how hard it is for rookies to adapt to Andy Reid's playbook. Sky Moore definitely struggled. He was fielding punts. That didn't really work. You know, wasn't on the field completely. But the other thing I've heard, and this has been separately, once on New Heights, Mahomes and Kelce talking about Sky Moore's work ethic. And another time I heard Mahomes, I think it was Super Bowl week, talking about Sky Moore's work ethic. To me, guys don't, you know, having worked in a baseball clubhouse, and interviewing guys, they don't say that easily. So I playfully made the sky the limit. What could he take that year two step that oftentimes comes for wide receivers that came for Tyreek Hill in his second year in this same offense?
First of all, you have to compare what you have in the Chiefs and really Andy Reid's offenses. You have relatively few highly drafted receivers to look from, even going back to the Philadelphia days. First thing, I think that's a great ear by you on the work ethic thing and noting that of all the platitudes that might show up in press conferences, and my goodness, there are many. Many of the words you will hear in a press conference are completely useless by the end of the day. But you're not going to have all-time greats like Mahomes and Kelsey, as early as it is, for Mahomes at least. All-time greats are not going to go call some lazy teammate a great worker. It would be a crazy waste of breath. So that is, I think, interesting and noteworthy in an encouraging way. My actual thoughts on Sky Moore, though, are different than they would have been 48 hours ago when we were recording this. Kadarius Toney, I don't know if you want to talk about him more later.
Without
talking about Toney now, because, man,
you have the floor.
I'd rather have the sky. I have so much love for Kadarius Toney on the football field. I was so excited this whole offseason of what it's going to look like for him to have a full training camp, a notoriously difficult Andy Reid training camp in the heat of St. Joseph, Missouri. I was really excited for all of that. And then fielding punts before the first full team practice began, he tears up his knee. Andy Reid said in his update on Wednesday, I think he said there's something with a meniscus. He's now had surgery on that knee. I think it was this morning, Wednesday morning. And now it sounds like getting back for week one is going to be the goal, if not a stretch. That's devastating. That's a devastating blow for Kadarius Toney. He has now missed an entire offseason program, more or less. He was around for mini camps and OTAs and stuff, but training camp is where the coal become diamonds or whatever. You get more familiar with Mahomes, more familiar with Andy Reid, all of that. So my expectations for Toney take a drop because I had higher expectations for him earlier on that I'm now lowering just because he's not going to be around when they're doing all of this, and he'll get the mental reps. The team loves him. The players love him. Talked about universally as a smart guy, high football IQ, and all of those things. But I now go to my expectations for him. I was so excited, and if I seem sad, I am. I'm a little crestfallen because I just wanted to see a healthy, fully integrated into the offense version of Kadarius Toney because I really thought it could look Tyreek Hill-y without being, you know, super exaggerating about it. So I'm disappointed now. My short-term expectations lower, and it kind of puts back in my head, like, all right, so what if weeks like 2 through 4 for Toney are a reacclimation period? And then 6 through 12, he's really thriving. Well, then what if he tweaks something else again in week 12? Is that the end of his season? So all of that to say, a lot of reports indicated that the Chiefs viewed Kadarius Toney as their number one receiver going into this season. I wanted that to be true desperately for the Chiefs and just for entertainment purposes. I think it's Sky Moore again. I think it has to be. I don't know how it's going to work, but I think Sky Moore is going to be asked not to be Tyreek Hill or to be Kadarius Toney, but to be a lot of what Juju Smith-Schuster was last year and to be that for years to come. There are some like long-term health concerns for Juju that I think played some part into them not bringing him back and matching what the Patriots gave him. But he was really valuable in this offense, kind of under the radar, probably under the radar from a fantasy standpoint also, being Juju last season. But even around here, like he was a part of the offense, but it's Mahomes, Reid, Kelsey, you know, that's your big three. This year, Sky Moore is going to be asked to do a lot. There is a lot of pressure on him to be ready for this moment. And for my hesitance last year, I have a little bit of reassurance that this year will pay off in the way that I kind of thought it would be. I got to talk to Sky for a while out at Marquez Valdez-Scantling. He had a charity softball game here maybe a month or so ago. And we got to sit down with a handful of the guys for a while, just a really good chat. And talking to Sky, it was something, I'm paraphrasing now, but it was something, you know, like last year's just sort of going from the MAC to the NFL is a huge jump. And that was sort of about like getting the earth under his feet. I think now for him, it's going to be about becoming a part of this offense. And then year three is when he can be whatever Sky Moore is in the Chiefs offense. So I think right now for this year, my expectations for him with all of this, with Tony really kind of coming to a head, right, as we're talking, I think that Sky Moore this year is going to be an important part of the offense. I would be pretty surprised if he's like a number one wide receiver in fantasy or even like the Chiefs clear number one receiver, because that is Travis Kelce. But Sky Moore needs to be this team's number two pass catcher. Otherwise, it's going to be MVS or it's going to be a rookie in Rashee Rice. You can take a lot of what I said last year and I think apply it to Rashee Rice this year. He might have a little larger role than Sky did last season. Parsons type of receiver, being a little bigger body guy and all of that. Rice will catch the balls, but I am hopeful for Sky Moore. I think he'll be a bigger part of the offense, but I don't think he's going to be one of the featured players, at least out of the gate. But I have even less conviction in that than I did around this time last year, even looking at the offense altogether, because at least last year it was like they brought in MVS. He's a veteran. He knows the speed of the NFL. Juju, he's a professional. He's going to be a huge part of this. You're building around Travis Kelce. This year, it is a really, really much more unknown than Juju is Sky Moore. And I'm telling you, I think he'll produce sort of similarly to that, but that's partially out of necessity. And if he busts in any way, you know, if he's just underwhelming this year and Tony's not healthy, this group gets pretty thin. And I think Mahomes will make it work. I think Andy Reid will make it work. But I think it could be a harder year on Patrick Mahomes, just in the amount of work he has to do, the weight he has to carry, where every window is tight because he doesn't have huge separators anymore. I think Sky is going to be on the right side of that. I really, really do. But I am less confident now than I was before the Tony injury, and the Tony injury has really taken some wind out of my sails for this receiving group.
Yeah, you know what? Just thinking about that, I mean, Tony could take some of the coverage away from Sky Moore and just, you know, and are people going to defend, you know, concentrate on Marquez Valdez-Scantling as much, or are they going to concentrate on Rashee Rice as much, as he's having almost, you know, a similar experience to Sky Moore? I think you're right. Yeah. It's going to be, that injury. Ooh. Yeah. And it always seems like these kind of injuries that happen when they say we hope that they're here by week one, it almost seems like that they seem to linger into the season, and that seems to worry me there. So anything you'd want to add on MVS or Rashee Rice or any of the other receivers?
Yeah. So I've also been doing some stuff of underdog over the last, they've started doing some stuff with us here at 810. I was playing underdog a long time ago too, but I did a couple best ball drafts and this last couple of weeks, the Chiefs receiver I was grabbing and being excited about was Kadarius Toney. And now here we are. But I do think MVS has some real value in something like a best ball, especially because he's going to have some games where it's 3 for 80 and a touchdown. Like that's going to be in his repertoire. A big part of what he does, though, and this is not always very exciting for fantasy owners or even Chiefs fans, frankly, the ability to make sure you are stretching a defense vertically, that you are putting pressure on the back end of that defense, is really important. And that's something where I do think where Sky, if he plays more in the slot this year, there are ways that this group can affect the defense and test the defense at multiple depths. So I think the offense as a whole is going to function. But I think you're going to have MVS games. I think you're going to have Sky Moore games. At this point, I think Sky probably leads receivers in receptions. Maybe MVS could lead the team in yards. There's a chance of that. I don't know. He had one real kind of breakout, like out of necessity, moment or two over the course of last season into the playoffs. You go, all right, there's the MVS game. He can do that when he's the guy it's got to be. But also there were times last year where Mahomes and MVS weren't quite on the same page. That should be better this year. It's another year of them figuring out their timing. So I think he's a really useful player, both for the Chiefs and probably in a best ball league or maybe later on in your fantasy drafts, especially now with Tony being hurt. My actual like fantasy advice, you can make it Rashee Rice also. I'd move him a rung down. But my fantasy advice for the Chiefs receivers at this point is don't overdraft any of them, but whoever's there whenever you're looking around, you know, that the time in every fantasy draft that we all get to and go, you know, maybe I don't like fantasy football this much. Like, this is, you know, the 14th round. For me, I scroll and I'm like, I didn't know he was a Lion. I didn't know he was in Washington. Huh. Marquez Valdez-Scantling? Go ahead and take him there. That's where I would be. Is once you're in that space where you're not in love with your options, go find the Chiefs receiver and give it a shot. Because it might be inconsistent. Maybe one of them probably would have to be Sky or a healthy Tony. Maybe one of them becomes like the real number one receiver of that group. But ultimately, I think it's going to be a bit of a committee. And from a fantasy perspective, yeah, take your shots and let's see, because there is real unknown. The good news is we do know who's throwing those guys the football, and that seems valuable to me.
That's been one of my things. In fact, yesterday I'm doing a slow draft, and I grabbed MVS really late, and he was past his ADP. He was probably like 15 picks past his ADP, and I had to make sure there wasn't like a health report that came out on him. And then I was just like, when I saw nothing new news came up, boom, I drafted him. Because yeah, you're right, he's gonna have like four or five games where he scores a touchdown and has big yardage. So love it. Okay, running backs. You know, I did make this, you know, Pacheco and McKinnon running back duo, but there's still that first round pick Clyde Edwards-Helaire who's still on the roster. Can you break down the running backs for me, how they're going to look?
Jorge, we're going four deep. All right. You ready for me? We're going four running backs deep. You got to know all four of these. Isaiah Pacheco coming off offseason surgery. He's the guy. I think he got a couple of reps in 7-on-7s today. He's been wearing a yellow quarterback non-contact jersey up through today. I would be surprised if you've seen one of his things was his labrum in his shoulder. Other thing was with his hand. He doesn't need contact. That dude lives for contact. He'll be good. He's RB1 for sure. But Jerick McKinnon, you're also going to see his workload managed because he is respectfully an old man. He's an old man who's been banged up a lot over his career, and he is a delight, both in the press conferences, we heard him talk today, and also just on this team in this offense. A vital role in the Chiefs offense as a guy who is the closest thing to a wide receiver out of the backfield you're reasonably going to get, who is also a Secret Service agent protecting Patrick Mahomes, one of the best pass-blocking running backs in football. He has a role on this team. But the other two guys, you mentioned Clyde Edwards-Helaire, first-round pick in the 2020 draft, much to my chagrin at the time. Now here we are. He was a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl. He wasn't there for the Chiefs' Super Bowl parade. He had prior commitments. And I don't think he was there for the ring ceremony back a month or so ago when they got the Super Bowl rings. He has talked to the media in the time since. He had one offseason presser. He's handled it like a pro up at the podium. You can understand how he'd be frustrated and how difficult it would be because he played pretty well. He was a real part of the offense, got hurt, got healthy, didn't make it back onto the field, didn't have a jersey for the Super Bowl. So again, it's been a tumultuous stretch for him. Health has been a problem. Burst has been a problem. Top line speed has been a problem. He's just not the guy. I mean, he's not who the Chiefs hoped they were drafting at the end of the first round back in the 2020 draft. I also, as someone who hated that pick at the time, partially because of running backs and their value there, and partially because I just didn't see it from him, I didn't like the pick then at all. I do think he has a spot on this roster now, though. It's a position that gets banged up constantly. He does know the offense. He's a very replaceable back, but he is a functional one. So I don't get the feeling that the Chiefs are just repulsed by him and that they're desperately looking for an excuse to cut him. Maybe a conditional late-round draft pick, and he gets a change of scenery somewhere else. That's on the table because, drumroll please, let me tell you about this year's Isaiah Pacheco, undrafted free agent, Denaric Prince. Denaric Prince is the guy who has gotten the Pacheco comps physically with his violence. He's shown good hands already. They haven't even put pads on as we're talking here now. Denaric Prince, Louis Riddick tweeted about him, which is how you know the Chiefs love him because the Chiefs talk to Lou and Riddick tweets it out. Like that was the Pacheco and Mahomes, and he's been on that train for a while. I want people to know, though, we were talking about it before Louis Riddick tweeted it out and told the world, and we here in the familia, we will know first before the rest of the world knows. I don't know if it's going to do anything for you this year, but if Pacheco were to miss significant time, I would go pick up Denaric Prince. Maybe before I'd pick up Jerick McKinnon, he probably should be on the roster anyway. But I think Prince is certainly dynasty relevant. And as the season rolls on, running backs get banged up. I think the Chiefs have a great stable of running backs. And to just go ahead and repeat a point I made many times before, during, and after the 2020 draft, they have a great stable of running backs with a seventh-round draft pick, an undrafted free agent rookie, and an old man who was on the scrap heap a year ago who has been so valuable for this team. And those, I think, are the three biggest names, with Clyde being a guy who could have a role this year, but I wouldn't draft him anyway.
Oh, man. My goodness. Fantastic.
There you
go. Man, Mago. I think we nailed
it. I got nothing else in here, Jorge. all I have in here is depth charts and Chief stuff. It's empty other than that.
Well, let's empty out the tank a little bit more. Offensive line, got to replace Orlando Brown. You still got. We just talked about the Prince, but we got to protect the King. So, how's that group shaping up?
Good question. Again, no contact and no full pads yet, so we'll see how this actually goes. This is maybe the quietest, biggest question the Chiefs have that hasn't made it out into like a lot of the big national storylines, I think. Interior's all good. Same three guys it's been the last couple of years. Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith. I think the best interior offensive line in football. The Eagles have their argument, but I mean, it's up there. It's one or two. The edges are both different because Andrew Wiley goes to Washington with Eric Bieniemy. He's their new right tackle. The Chiefs spend $20 million per year. I think it's 4 for $80, 20 per, on Juwan Taylor, who leaves the Jags. He was their right tackle. The question was, okay, well, are you paying him this money to move to the left side, have him play out of position? That'd be kind of interesting. Well, long story short, the Chiefs end up signing Donovan Smith, most recently, or a long time, Tampa Bay Buccaneers left tackle, specifically left tackle. The Chiefs said Juwan Taylor could do either. Donovan Smith, he's been a left tackle his entire career. Last year was a bad year for him, but it also was an injured year for him. So that's the gamble the Chiefs are having right now, where it is Donovan Smith at left, that interior, and a very expensive but hopefully good young long-term investment in Juwan Taylor on the right side. I don't care really how they're splitting up the money. Mitchell Schwartz, one of the best right tackles in football history, was in Kansas City and played incredible football on the right side and was very valuable there. That doesn't really bother me. But Donovan Smith at left tackle is a huge question. They drafted Wanye Morris out of Oklahoma. He was their right tackle there most recently, but they drafted him in the third round this year. He's getting work on both sides. So I think there's a world in which they'd like him to win that job from Donovan Smith. But I think really Smith on the left side this year, Taylor on the right side is certainly plan A. And I am interested to see how Smith holds up. I feel really good about left guard through right tackle. Donovan Smith's the big unknown. I'm hopeful, though, that being healthy, that he can play similarly to how Orlando Brown did last year, which I think left a lot of Chiefs fans and maybe even the Chiefs at least a little bit underwhelmed. So there's room for growth there, even if it's not all pro play from the left tackle spot.
Oh, okay. We'll close it out with close out the football questions. The other side of the ball. I mean, some great draft picks that really, really shored up the defensive secondary. And obviously, you still got Chris Jones, who's a bad man at up front. So, is this still shaping up like a defense that's going to be, you know, fairly good against the pass and just kind of like middle of the road against the run?
I think we're going to see. This is the big asterisk right now is when Chris Jones will be at training camp. They're working on the long-term deal, obviously. So I think he will eventually get worked out. So let's – assuming Chris Jones is there, because if he's not, everything changes. If 95 is not in the middle, it changes. Every domino falls different. But with Chris Jones there, I think this is a fringe top 10 defense. And with room to even be a click above that. You might hear a little bit of hesitance because they got their hands full. I mean, teams are going to bring their full arsenal to the Chiefs defense every week because they know that number 15 has the ball when their team doesn't. But I think with Chris Jones in particular, a great back half of the year for George Karlaftis, the first-round defensive end they took last year. They had another first-round defensive end, Felix Anudike-Uzomah from Kansas State. They fleshed out that group a little bit. They lose Frank Clark. They could bring back Carlos Dunlap. No word on that yet. I think that front line is in pretty good hands, although a little bit younger, which is generally an okay thing. The linebackers are gnarly on this team. They added Drew Tranquil from the Chargers. Steve Spagnuolo is already, he's talked one time at training camp, and he talked about Drew Tranquil for like 5 minutes. He loves him. That's going to be a real thing. So I think the linebacker group's fascinating. It'll be interesting to see if they do anything a little bit schematically differently. Maybe they stay with three linebackers on the field a little bit more often so they can use Nick Bolton, Willie Gay, and Drew Tranquil. They drafted Leo Chanel last year. A whole bunch of linebackers that are fascinating to me. And then, yes, that secondary, even younger. I mean, I guess maybe not technically, but now Brian Cook is going to start next to Justin Reed as opposed to Juan Thornhill. He's a Brown now. It's a lot of moving parts in the like starting lineup when you look at it that way. But really the crazy thing is because, as you mentioned last year, all those draft picks that went into that secondary in particular, there's actually a tremendous amount of consistency, especially from where the Chiefs ended last year, to where I think we're going to see jumps from Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, Brian Cook. That's three corners and a safety for you playing along at home. It's a fabulous group that I think will continue to take strides. It's just very, very important that Chris Jones is there to start everything up front.
Oh, he'll be there. We know that these leagues, so. They love their deadlines. They love their deadlines. So he's I remember seeing that dance with Aaron Donald and the Rams back like 5 years ago. And, you know, they signed right before the start of the season. So, and he was defensive player of the year. So yeah, I'm not worried. I'm not worried. Mi amigo, the timing was great. This was well worth the wait. I mean, you know, and again, congratulations on getting married this year. So I wanted to close it out. I'm closing out with my repeat, or not offenders, but my repeat amigos and amigas who've been joining. Any recent discoveries, Mexican food takes, anything new and exciting that's come up?
I did not have anything in mind until you. I went, oh, we talked about tacos last time. I think I don't know if I have any taco takes. Well, good news, I do actually, because that's what we had at the wedding. We had a place called Taco Republic. They have a food truck, and we had street tacos for our kind of main course. Renee, now wife Renee, formerly girlfriend Renee, fiance Renee, wife Renee now. She had setups with a pretzel spot around here. Did soft pretzels and cotton candy and snow cones, some sort of carnival types of food. That was the carnival hour, as we called it, and in addition to the cocktails of the cocktail hour. And then Taco Republic took us from there. I remember having maybe the best shredded chicken taco of my life, and I cannot remember what the second one even was. It was a very busy day, but I was thrilled. Everyone was thrilled. And look, I'm just going to – we're amongst friends. We're amongst the family here. I'm going to go ahead and say this. Not white people tacos. I want you to know that. I want you to know that I know. I'm not saying that we had Taco Bell at the wedding and it changed my life. Like, I am standing by what we had there. So that to me, if you're in the KC area checking this out, Taco Republic absolutely came through on a pretty big day for us. So that's my hat tip to them.
Tacos on your wedding, that is just a dream. That is a dream. Oh, mi amigo, this is fantastic. Wishing you, you know, 50 plus years of wedded bliss. Enjoy it. That was the greatest advice someone ever gave me. But I hadn't even been married a year yet, and this guy had been married 40 years, and he said the greatest advice I could say is just every day choose love. So that's it, those two words, choose them every day, and you'll be okay. So mi amigo, thank you again, this was absolutely utterly fantastic. Otra vez, please pump away everything. You're about to get like stone cold busy all the way till Valentine's Day, so hopefully your wife wants to join you in Vegas for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I tell you what, that'd work out fine for me. Yeah, I'd love to. So here's my rundown. If you want more from me, you can hear me on The Zone with Jason Anderson here on Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City from 10 to 2 or wherever you get your podcasts. We've got, speaking of podcasts, Time's Ours on The Athletic. That's me, Nate Taylor, and Seth Kaiser. We have a lot of fun talking about the Chiefs there once or twice a week. Time's Ours, wherever you get your podcasts. ArrowheadReport.com is a part of Sports Illustrated's Fan Nation Network, SI.com. Or just type arrowheadreport.com. We'll get you there as well. You can follow me on pretty much any social media that I still care to be on, at JB Briscoe. I don't know what they're called anymore. I don't know which ones I'm using anymore, but I know I'm at JB Briscoe in most of those places. And if you want to ever grab tacos with me in Kansas City, you know, you guys know where to find me. So I'm always down.
There, Casey and Taco Republic. Vámonos, familia. Vámonos. I think I told you I had a layover there last year. Next time I got to make it a one day layover, and we're going to go get some, we're going to go to Taco Republic. And
I'll tell you what, the airport will not waste your time this time. We have real food in the airport that tastes like Kansas, that is local Kansas City barbecue. Ooh. We have that now. We have a new airport that doesn't embarrass me. So we've got at least that.
Oh, fantastic, mi amigo. And this has been un gran placer. This has been utterly fantastic. So appreciate the time and the knowledge and the timing. So, yeah, we really got like breaking news here on Familia FFB, the NFL Insider Series. So make sure you're subscribing. Go back and watch the other ones, Familia. The training camp reports, the early reports, nothing's changed. The takes that people have been very, very consistent. So if you missed them, go back and check them out. Please, please give us a like and subscribe. Also, make sure, as Joshua mentioned, go to underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code FAMILIA23. Going to get matched the first $100 and they're going to match your next $100 and grab Marquez Valdes-Scantling late. He's on sale. He is on sale. Sky Moore is going kind of late too. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
I would definitely hop on that.
Oh my goodness. Familia, to our invitado una vez, muchas gracias. And to you, everybody, muchas gracias for joining us. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.